On today's episode of the Real Foodology Podcast.
Wait a minute. You're allowing a chemical that's a probable carcinogen, that's an endocrine disruptor, that has a chain of bad effects on your whole system, doesn't have half-lives. We have been using forever chemicals in many different forms. This is how insane we are.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Real Foodology Podcast. As always, I am your host, Courtney Swan. I'm really, really stoked about today's guest. I have been following his work for about 12 years now. He helped create this protein drink called Shakeology, and I used to drink it like way back in the day. And at the time, he was known for his superfood hunting. He was going around the world and finding all these different native cultures' superfoods and incorporated them into this drink called Shakeology. But the reason that he is on the podcast today is to talk about his new book called Fatal Conveniences. His name is Darren Olean. You may know him from the Netflix show Down to Earth with Zac Efron, which, by the way, is an incredible show. If you've not checked that out yet, I highly recommend watching it. It's such a great watch. I really enjoyed it. And the work that he's doing is just incredibly important for modern living right now. So that's what we talk about today, is all about his book and what encompasses in his book. It's a lot of stuff that I talk about pretty frequently on my podcast, more so on my Instagram. Chemicals and toxins in our everyday life that we're finding in body care, in makeup, in furniture. It's even showing up in fast food wrappers. If you guys are paying attention to this conversation at all, you know that recently Simply Orange, the orange juice, was they tested it and they found that it has over 200 PFASs in it, or PFAS. These PFAS are also known as forever chemicals. They are in things like Teflon, nonstick cookware, anything that is waterproof. So if you have like raincoats or pants that have been sprayed, boots that have been sprayed, they're even finding it in workout clothes like Lululemon. It's a huge problem right now, and there's not enough conversation about it. It's incredibly concerning, but it's also empowering to know. And we talk a lot about this in the podcast, just that the more awareness we have, the better choices we can make. And there's a lot of companies doing it the right way now, but we need to be aware so that we can avoid these things, because we are exposing our children to it, and we're exposing our families to it. We're exposing ourselves to this stuff on a day-to-day basis. I mean, there's a statistic out right now that women on average are being exposed to 168 different chemicals every single day, just based on the body wash, the shampoo, lotion, perfumes, makeup, deodorant, fragrance, all the stuff that we're being exposed to on a day-to-day basis. And it's happening exponentially more for women, but men are also being exposed to this stuff as well, because it's just in our environment. So we talk a lot about that, the health implications of it, and also what we can do about it and how we can move forward from this and really make change and hopefully get all these chemicals out of our environment. So I'm very excited for you guys to listen to this episode. With that, let's just get into the episode. Okay, just kidding. Before we get in with Darren Olean, if you're loving the podcast, please, if you could take a moment to rate and review it. It means so much to me. It really helps this show, and it helps this show grow. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your support. I've been consuming collagen for about 6 years now. I like to put it in my morning drink, whether that's coffee or matcha. I usually prefer coffee, but lately I've actually been doing coffee and then having a matcha a little bit later. I love to mix the collagen in with my nut milk that I put in my coffee. It's usually almond milk or coconut milk. And I'm so excited to announce that Organifi has their own collagen now. As with all Organifi products, it's glyphosate residue free, really high quality. It has hydrolyzed bovine hide collagen peptides that are derived from pasture raised cows. It also has eggshell membrane collagen. It's taken from the thin layer between the egg and the shell. And this is collagen rich, and it may be beneficial for strong joint health. It also has hydrolyzed fish collagen peptides derived from wild caught fish. Because this collagen source is of a small particle size, it makes it easier to digest and more absorbable. And then there's also chicken bone broth protein concentrate in there. This collagen type is actually found in your gut, joints, and cartilage, and it helps support greater health both inside and out. Collagen is really good for lubricating the joints. It's also great for healing and sealing the gut. Often now, because of our diets, people are dealing with leaky gut syndrome, and collagen actually goes in there and helps to seal the gut. So If you're having any sort of leaky gut syndrome symptoms, collagen may be your best bet. It's also great for just replenishing collagen stores that diminish as we age and may help with wrinkles and keeping supple skin, because collagen also is what keeps our skin elastic. So this is why I consume collagen. I love Organifi. I love all of their products. If you guys want to try any of the Organifi products for 20% off, you can use code RealFoodology or go to Organifi.com/RealFoodology. That's Organifi.com/RealFoodology. Darren, I'm so excited to have you on the show today. I have been following your work for a really long time. I first discovered you and your work actually way back in the day when you created Shakeology. And I remember you were on this like superfood hunt looking for all the healthiest superfoods that we could find all around the world. And so that's originally how I knew about you and your work. But more recently, I'm so excited about this book that you wrote, because this is, I think, one of the most important conversations that we're not having enough right now. And it's this exposure to all of these toxic chemicals and things that are in common everyday products, furniture, et cetera, that we're being exposed to that people really don't have much of a clue about.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's it became just blaringly obvious that everyone who's wanting and to be healthy and this invisible world that seems to exist with this, and not even anyone's fault, this kind of droned out apathy that rightly so, we believe that products should be in our best interest when we buy them. We believe that they shouldn't cause harm. To my horror, so many do, unless you're actually willing and able and put the effort into to seek the ones that don't have harmful ingredients. So I agree. It's a conversation that has to be have. We have to have it in order for us to have a great life. We can try to eat as well as we can. We can try to exercise, but then when you have hijacking elements from this chemical soup and largely the Wild West, unregulated, it's shocking, actually.
It's incredibly shocking. Well, and you brought up such a great point that I see often with the food industry as well, is that there's this common misconception that if it's on the shelf, that it's vetted for, that it's been tested, that it's healthy for us. But unfortunately, what's happening is it's kind of like you said, it's the Wild West, and they're kind of just throwing things out in the market. And then until there's like an overwhelmingly crazy response to it, which also is kind of hard to track, you know, because there's so many different things going on. But until there's that response, then they start, you know, doing something about it. But then even then, they don't do anything about it for like 20 years. I mean, the stuff that you're talking about right now, I've known about for probably 10 years now. And it's still like people are still just trying to sound the alarm.
Totally. It's hard for people to first get their head around what you just said, right? And that is, we're going to put this out on the market. If there's and oftentimes it's gnarly. There's a line item for when there's a lawsuit, you know? So they've kind of, big companies have baked this into their, you know, profit margins. Marketing budget. So, to get your head around the fact that profits literally, for the majority of owners of businesses, i.e. the big boys, that they literally care about the profits over the health and safety. It's so that the model is flipped, where health and safety is not much of a concern. But like you said, over and over and over in this book, and all of the products, they take the same kind of rule book, and that is, we're going to put it out there. If we don't test our product, even though many of the ingredients have been flagged have need further studies have also shown as possible, probable, likely carcinogenic activities, endocrine disruption, you know, connected to testicular cancer, endometriosis, you name it, right? Cholesterol, like it's crazy what these small amount, because sometimes it is a small amount of these chemicals create a cascade of effect. And then only when the public becomes aware of it, someone tests it, and then there's this huge avalanche of push. That's the good side of social media, where you can push this stuff out. Someone does some investigation, and then the plausible deniability gets put in there going, oh, we didn't know. So we'll take the slap on the wrist. And then they're just, you know, these layers of contradiction, even within the regulatory bodies, is just astonishing, right? So you have things like, you know, you have lawsuits against people like Monsanto and using glyphosate. We've been using glyphosate since 1974 in our food systems, which is just astronomically insane already.
It's horrifying. Yeah.
Right. And now finally there's some big lawsuits. 2018, there was a lawsuit that went after specifically the Roundup version of Monsanto, which is the individual consumer's little chemical poison that they can buy and spray on their lawn. But all of these things have been linked. I'm just using this as an example of many, but all these things have been linked. This particular pesticide has been linked to all sorts of issues. You've got endocrine disruption, you've got hypertension, you've got diabetes, you got stroke, you got autism, you've got kidney failure, you've got Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, like all of this stuff. So you've got international bodies, and this was like in 2015, you've got international bodies of agency of research on cancer. They're also declaring it as probable carcinogenic activity. And then the FDA comes out going, yeah, we disagree. Like, what are you talking about? What do you mean you disagree? Like, and so it's just like, these are evidences. And you could basically, in the book, I highlight many of the reoccurring chemicals that show up. So I needed to do partial chapters on this to just kind of get your head around, like, what is this PFAS? What is this Teflon derivative? What is this fragrance industry? What is this natural flavor industry? Like, what is all of that? And why, and these, all these endocrine disrupting compounds that are showing up in the parabens and the phthalates and your mascara and deodorants and beauty products and lipstick and like all of this stuff just keeps showing up everywhere. And then, and all the while, all this evidence points that this is not a good thing. And then cut two. When you really look at it, you're going, none of this is tested. It's very, very little, right? And we're talking a few percent is tested. And these are oftentimes what happens is these are tested, but they're only tested in a level that they are testing them in. And then they deem proximity, use, and then they come up with some sort of standard. Virtually all of the research from electromagnetic fields to personal care to how much you're putting on sunscreen doesn't even come close to the actual use of the products, right?
Yeah. Well, you think about everyday use. So there's a cumulative exposure like that. And then on top of that, too, I think another issue is that they may be testing this one chemical, but we don't know what the interactions are with all these different chemicals, like you just said. I mean, women are being exposed on average to 168 different chemicals every single day because of their makeup, their lotion, their body wash, the perfumes, et cetera. We don't know what that cumulative effect and all of those chemicals together are doing in the body.
Totally. And that's where it starts to get just unbelievably insane. The fact that this is happening, like this, the fact that you, like you said from the beginning, it's like when you really get your head around this, it is unbelievably, I don't know another word, just utterly insane. You know, when all of these things are connected to disruptions in the body, you could summarize it all as like stressors, all kinds of different stressors hitting you all different ways. And like you said, the average of consumer use, you know, that you can make arguments like, okay, the parabens, the phthalates, which why the hell is a plasticizer in your makeup and lotion? First off, right? So it's, you're like going, oh my God, right? So why are these things in these products? And then, like you said, of the testing, they're only testing this very, very small amount in a very, very controlled parameter of testing. And under no conditions have I ever seen or any test ever do any interactions of the 80,000 chemicals they create and throw into our environment every year. And so then you like you said, you know, the hundreds of chemicals in every product, right? And you have to think of also, sometimes a fragrance itself has hundreds of chemicals that are non-disclosed, right? So if they just say it's a proprietary formula, so therefore, it's a loophole. The FDA says, okay, you don't have to provide us with that information because it's now they're protecting the IP of the corporation. And so it doesn't have to be disclosed. So yes, read the labels, but you can't read labels that don't have these things existing. Yeah. So then you have, you know, a normal day of waking up, drinking your water, if it's non-filtered, hundreds of chemicals there, and going into a non-filtered shower and your body wash and your shampoos, your conditioners, your lotions, your makeups, your it just goes on and on and on. And so yeah, I'm I don't know about you, but I'm just not cool with it.
No, I mean, this has been a huge topic of conversation on my own page, on my Instagram, on my podcast, because, you know, as you've mentioned, we're seeing all of these diseases, these chronic diseases just skyrocket, you know, in the last, like, I don't know what it's been, what, 30, 40, 50 years. And we can directly correlate a lot of these conditions back to the exposures that we are being exposed to, you know, in these PFAs, the forever chemicals, the phthalates. I mean, there was, I recently had Dr. Shanna Swan on my podcast, and she's amazing.
She's in the book. We interviewed her. Yeah, for sure.
She's amazing. And she talked all about, you know, phthalates and exposure to all these different chemicals. And we can directly correlate things like infertility, the plummeting of testosterone, the motility of sperm is going down. Women are getting more of these, you know, infertility conditions like endometriosis, PCOS, like, I mean, it goes on and on and on, you know? And it's just like you keep saying, it's mind-blowing to me that this is all happening and it's ramping up and it's ramping up. And there's not really much being done about it right now. And on top of that, people are not even aware. You know, on top of the fragrances and the body lotion and all that stuff, I mean, you have to worry about your furniture, filtering your water, like you said, shower filters, bath filters. There, another thing recently that I just saw, I saw a video recently on Lululemon workout clothes have PFASs in them now. Or do you say PFAS? How do you pronounce it?
So, you know, there's all different, there's actually 9,000 different types of derivatives of Teflon. And so PFOAs, PFASs, POASs, like there's all kinds of different, and that's the thing, like, hey, no PFAS, but then they make another chemical strain and then they call it similar to BPA. And then they make, hey, it's BPA-3, but it has BPS, it has BPH. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, like we're playing whack-a-mole.
We right? really are.
And so, you know, and Dr. Swan, amazing, amazing book, amazing advocate, you know, And I like to see also that the unfortunately, the longer we've been doing this, the work that she's doing and other people like Dr. Leo Trisande wrote a great book, Sicker, Fatter, Poorer, all on EDCs. And so this research is starting to get out and they're starting to see that this is not just because are you dying from washing your hair? Not that one time, yeah. Right? But you know, when you're talking about the endocrine system, you're talking about these minute changes that your body chemistry is creating just in normal living, right? So minute chemical exposures that are binding to estrogen receptors, mimicking other compounds, the body has no idea what's going on, and it changes these systems. And then think about that, right? So Dr. Swan did a great thing of like seeing half-lives of stuff. So like the half-life, so you make the argument, hey, man, these things don't last that long anyway, right? The phthalates, the parabens. However, like you said, the constant exposure to all of this stuff is where, yeah, that'd be fine if we were exposed once, right? Once a week, we're probably fine. There'd be no real issue, but you're exposed every day, all day, in a variety of different forms. And then I add on top of it the PFAS, these gnarly grandsons of the Teflon industry. These are this classification for everyone listening. You've talked about it before, I'm sure. They're a forever chemical. And let's just get our head around that for a second. So wait a minute. You're allowing a chemical that's a probable carcinogen, that's an endocrine disruptor, that has a chain of bad effects on your whole system, that is a forever chemical, so bioaccumulates, doesn't have half-lives, that can get stored into fat tissue. Now they're having this term called obesogens, right? So you're saving, your body's amazing going, holy shit, that's a toxin, get it away from my organs, shove it into the fat tissue and try not to release it into the body to cause harm, right? So, but it's causing metabolic issues, it's all of these things. So these forever chemicals, and just to understand this, we have been using forever chemicals in many different forms. This is how insane we are. All of us were born into this shit, right? So we were easily and willfully using DDT up until 1972. And that's a forever chemical. And then you go, okay, well, at least we banned it. Well, but just to give you an understanding, what is in the blood of virtually everyone today? DDT.
Wow.
Right.
How's it getting into the blood? Is it because it's like in the soil or?
Yeah, it's that there's they call it the half-life is like, I don't technically know, but it's 1,000 years, right? So so that's why it doesn't
it doesn't break
put
down.
It in there. You blasted it into our soul. We keep growing food in the areas, but like, yeah, we're fine. It's 50 years ago. But this is the forever creation of these chemicals. And we've been using, you know, glyphosate since the 70s too. So, you know, we've been, and we're not even, okay, they're starting to look at bee activity. So the nicotinamides and all of these things are causing all kinds of disturbance in bees and things like that. So then, okay, the pollination of our literal food system is under threat. But they also, now new studies are showing that we're literally killing worms and other beneficial bacteria in our soil. So like when that's done, we're done. Like this is it's the same mentality of like, you're not okay as you are. We've got something for you, but we've used chemicals to do it. So therefore, we've divorced nature in the process. And then now it has a long, laundry list of side effects, as opposed to everything in my book all has a solution, right? Everything. There's always a solution. And a lot of what we have to combat with is our apathy of our habits. Mm-hmm. We all have them. You get into habits and you just keep doing them. But if you're not aware, then you can't have a choice. So that's the whole point of this book and the people before me. We're trying to raise the alarm of this stuff. And like, I just want to take you lightly by the shoulders, everybody listening, just shake you a little bit and go, I'm sorry to say this. I didn't do this. I was born into it too. I'm at the effect of it too. Your children are, your dogs are, your family is, you are. So be aware of the products out there, but you always have a choice. So now that you're aware, you can shift over here and create a new habit with a beneficial product or a natural product that's not hurting you in the process, but actually can uplift you. I think of things like, you want perfume? Cool, go to nature. Flower essences, essential oil, it actually can help you, because nature never essentially has a detrimental kill switch, right? It you know, obviously cycles of nature, but you're not going to have a laundry list of things when you put on, you know, beneficial things on your body.
Did you guys know that over 70% of sodium in the U.S. diet is consumed from packaged and processed foods? When you adopt a whole foods diet, you are eliminating, or hopefully eliminating, these processed foods and therefore sodium from your diet. Now, the solution is not to reintroduce processed foods in your diet, but by not replacing that sodium, you can actually negatively impact your health and performance. If you guys listened to my episode, The Salt Fix, with Dr. James Stanek, we learned that sodium is actually a really imperative mineral for the body. Sodium helps maintain fluid balance. It's an electrolyte, so it helps keep us hydrated. It also aids in nerve impulses. It regulates blood flow and blood pressure. It's incredibly important. And if you're eating a whole real food diet, chances are you're probably not getting enough sodium. Also, this is probably going to be a shock to hear, but if you are just drinking water without adding minerals back into your water, you're not actually hydrating. My personal favorite way to stay hydrated throughout the day is through drinking Element every day. That's L-M-N-T. It's a delicious tasting electrolyte drink mix that has everything you need and nothing you don't. So that means lots of salt. There's no sugar in there. It's formulated to help anyone with their electrolyte needs and is perfectly suited for people following keto, low carb, and paleo diets. It has a science-backed electrolyte ratio, 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, and 60 milligrams of magnesium. I drink one of these every single morning. They have a ton of amazing, super delicious flavors. I know a lot of us listening are avoiding natural flavors, so they also have an unflavored one, which is my personal favorite. I love to put it with lemon. But if you want the flavored ones, they have a great variety of different flavors, and they have given me an awesome offer to share with you guys. So you guys can claim a free Element sample pack when you make a purchase through the link. The link is drinkelement, that's LMNT.com/realfoodology. And in the Element sample pack, you're going to get one packet of every flavor so that you can try all of them and see which one is your favorite. I hope you guys enjoy it as much as I do. Again, it's drinkelement.com/realfoodology. That's drinkelment.com/realfoodology. I love this. And this is also what I love about your message, because it's very similar to mine, where I really believe, well, first and foremost, like, I'm very passionate about informed consent, because we can't make the best decisions for ourselves, for our children, for our families, you know, whatever, without being fully informed of what's going on. And then once you know, you can do better. Because I think there's a lot of people too that kind of spiral out and feel ashamed, or, you know, they feel shamed and they feel bad that they've been exposing their children to this or whatever. And I try to tell people, like, look, you were doing the best that you could with the information you had at the time, but now that we know better, we do better. And we can, there are alternatives too. And that's the other thing I love about your message, is that it's not all doom and gloom. It is right now, because we're exposing all of this. We're learning about all the craziness that's going on right now. But once we know, we can start making better, more informed choices. And there's a lot of companies doing really amazing things. You know, there's a lot of really clean companies out there. There's companies that are super upfront about the fragrances that they use. They list them out. I remember there was a company maybe like a year ago that wanted to send me some of their deodorant. and it was scented deodorant. And I wrote them back and I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't do fragrances. I don't trust them, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, oh, they're actually really natural and clean. I was like, okay, well, but I don't know that. And they're like, we'll send you our, they sent me the proprietary list, the exact list of every single fragrance that was in there. And I went and looked them all up. They were super safe. They were very transparent about it. And now it's like one of my favorite deodorants. And they also make essential oils and it smells really amazing. I put it in diffusers in my house. So instead of using candles, it's, so there's other options. It's just all about being informed and knowing which companies are doing, you know, doing it the right way and making us safe products.
Yeah. And I love that. And I celebrate that. I don't know the company, but who is it?
They're called, I'm trying to remember. I think it was, it's called, oh, it's Curie. It's C-U-R-I-E. And they do, yeah, they do deodorant. They have this whipped body wash that I love. Like I said, they do little essential oils for diffusers. Like they have a lot of amazing products.
Right. And that's where, you know, people can easily look at my book and like going, oh my God, because I spent, you know, 2.5 years on this thing with 20 researchers and all this stuff. And of course, my first teacher was, should I talk about in the book? It was my dad. And 30 years ago, he's chemical sensitive. So that was my first, like, what the hell's going on? Like, why is my dad being basically handicapped by this stuff? And so I celebrate. So my optimism comes by way of exactly what you're saying. There's incredible people and innovation. And that's where you and I having this conversation and all of your listeners. So clearly your listeners are already tuned in, right? Yeah. So that's the army that we get to create, because they get to tell people, they get to pass this podcast on, they get to share it. They get to share it with their neighborhood, their family, their kids, their pets, and slowly start to transition out of this stuff. Because it's, I think of all of it as the journey of life. I'm perfectly imperfect. I just discovered something about myself in relationships that blew my mind. Like I'm going, oh my God, I can't believe I've been doing that. And I had no idea. So not to unpack that, but it's so easy to go to, holy shit, how stupid am I?
Yeah.
That's like maybe a second where like, I am so grateful for the awareness. And that's what we have to shift into. Health, our mental health needs to shift into that, going, you're not broken. There's nothing wrong. You're just becoming aware. And awareness, I don't know about anyone else, but awareness is the antidote, right? Fear and anger and resentment and all that, so that's not going to take you other than down, right? Mm-hmm. So become aware, live radically honest, and then face this stuff. Like, you know, sometimes you just got to put on the big pants and just go, okay, take a deep breath and look at this stuff, because the only way, call it a relationship, call it anything you want positively to change, you have to look at what you're not willing to look at or willing to do in order for change to happen. So I look at all of this stuff as opportunity of like, wow, it's amazing that I didn't see that, but wow, now my world is wide open. And now I have this, using this example that I haven't given any details to, but but my ability to love, let's say, just got opened in such a massive way that I was like, oh my God, that's incredible. And I'm now so excited about life, because how is life going to show up if I'm now more wide open to life, all of life, than before? So that's the thing with all this stuff. You can choose to be in fear and be into overwhelm. That's a lie. That's just a mental thing that we're doing. Or you can look at this stuff going, just take it one thing at a time. Listen to this podcast and go, okay, maybe I should take out, you know, I put on that damn deodorant every day. It's close to my breast tissue. It's canola aluminum salts are not so great. Not great at all.
Yeah.
right? So so let's maybe look up that other Curie, I think it was called. Let's look at that deodorant. And the, I put many, many solutions in the book that I've tried to do my best vetting. And become, again, I don't know about you, but I get excited to integrate. It takes sometimes, yeah, the punch on the chin of just realizing like, oh my God, I just did laundry yesterday and I used this gnarly fragrance that smells crazy and it's full of chemicals. Okay, don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I was going to say pass it on, but then maybe don't.
Yeah, don't. You don't want to expose other people to it. Like you said, it's the everyday habits, the ones that we really need to be the most concerned about. You know, the deodorant, the laundry detergent, because you're sleeping in those sheets every night. You're wearing those clothes during the day every day. You're being exposed to all these different things every single day. It's the other stuff where you're not being exposed to as much that I'm not as worried about. It's the everyday stuff, you know? And let's give people a little bit of a snapshot of things that maybe, like, where are some places that maybe they're not fully aware that there could be these chemicals in there that they're being exposed to on a day-to-day basis? Like, for example, I think people wouldn't even think about babies' diapers.
Yeah, babies' diapers is pretty crazy. So I get it. Like, again, all these things are so convenient. Throw away diapers, buy this thing, use it, throw it away. I get it. But it's number one, it's plastic, mm-hmm. which is oil and petroleum. And then they use, so all that squishy, the ability for a plastic to be malleable means that it has all kinds of different plasticizers in it. Those are phthalates typically. And those phthalates are 100% endocrine disrupting. And then they put all this absorbent chemicals in there. Which are all other synthetic fibers. And then, of course, no one wants it to smell bad. They're afraid of poop smell, when it's just a natural process of a baby. And then the fragrances are in there too.
Right?
A lot of them. And so think about that now. We know that this is affecting children at this level without a doubt. So you have got this precious organ of the skin. You've got their genitalia. And now you're putting plastics, petroleum, chemicals, endocrine disruptor.
Fragrances
on their genitals, which have to absorb a certain amount of those. So your child's endocrine system is being thwarted, all for the convenience. What can you do? Spend a little extra money up front, unbleached, undyed, unformaldehyde diapers, organic diapers. Buy, I don't know, 20 of them, and then just rotate the wash. Wash them. Obviously not in fragrance, gnarly chemicals, because then you're just reintroducing the same problem again. So it isn't a big deal unless you're not aware, right? So so those things are like, I just think of the, and not to bum people out, but we always had this delusion that children were so protected in the womb, even like that placental barrier. Hey man, you can kind of do whatever you want. The body is going to protect the child. Well, that's not true. It's not true at all. And several studies have shown that what the mother is doing, what the mother is exposed to, is absolutely in the umbilical cord, hundreds of man-made chemicals in the umbilical cord of most children being born today.
Yeah.
So this is not an experiment we should take lightly. So then on top of it, you're bringing them in, you're putting, Johnson & Johnson talc powder full of heavy metals. on there. You're putting a easy to wipe off baby bib that's full of PFAS. So
they're chewing on plastic with the binkies and the toys.
It's the Twilight Zone. I mean, just everyone for a second, suspend your shame of not knowing, because we all didn't know. We were born into it, right? We were born into it, these systems, because I think of everything as a system. Mm-hmm. I think of these systems that we just like, it's what my mom did. It's what, you know, my babysitter did. I do that. It's what my brother did. I use this. And you're kind of just going, right? And I'm just going to eat all this ultra processed food. I'm not going to care about pesticides, whatever. You know, you just do this stuff. And over time, this is where we get hijacked. Yeah. This is the issue. But it's happening sooner than what we think. And I just did on my podcast, The Fatal Convenience, on children's food, right? We have these food menus and we've somehow just came to this conclusion that kids, they're fine. They're kids. They're resilient. Well, you're still exposing them to chemicals. You're still exposing them to non-food food, right? Yeah. You're setting up massive changes in their metabolic system, in their microbiological system. I mean, these pesticides, herbicides, larvicides, insecticides, these things wipe out like antibiotics. They wipe out digestive flora. So setting up for metabolic issues, setting up for immune system, setting up for I'm inflamed, I can't eat this, food sensitivities, food allergies. Like this is real, but this is a bad chemical warfare that, again, I'm gonna go back to the optimism. We all can change it, and we have billions of us. So we have the power, because I guarantee you, I've talked to some big companies. When they see a trend, they're like, we got to get on that or else we're going to literally leave. So we set the trend. But what's happened is they try to set the trend and create, you know, the clown for McDonald's, the tiger for the Frosted Flakes. And so they create this gnarly, deeply ingrained marketing system that's been manipulating us for a very long time. So it's like, not anymore.
No.
If you created safe products, if you created great products with our health in mind, I wouldn't have had to write a book. You wouldn't have had to talk about it. Scientists and all the research wouldn't have to do about it and call this stuff out. But that's not reality. So, you know, it's a hell of a thing to swallow. But I'm like, I love awareness. I love to be aware so that there's infinite choice. Because if we don't have infinite choice, we have a very limited life.
Yes, yes. Oh my God, I'm so glad that you said that. I mean, you and I are of the same mind. I want to know. I want to know everything. I don't even care how like scary and crazy it sounds, because I have a very optimistic view of all of this. And it's similar to what you just said, that the more people that are aware of this and that are making more conscious, better decisions, the faster we get out of this, you know, like the more people are buying these organic undyed diapers and bringing their cups to Starbucks instead of getting the plastic lined cups that also have the PFA or PFASs in it, the fast food wrappers, like avoiding that kind of stuff. Like when we make these conscious decisions and we say as a collective, no more, they don't have any choice but to bend to that, you know? And so that's why as a consumer, as a listener right now, it is so incredibly important that we start making these healthier, better decisions, because it's not only affecting us and our families, but collectively, it affects our entire society, you know? And so this is why it's so important. We tell our friends, we tell our family, and we get everyone on board, because this is how we truly drive change.
Totally. I mean, I believe in that sovereignty. I believe in the health of us. I believe in the human spirit more than I believe in anything else.
Yeah,
because we all have a desire to thrive. We all have a desire to live the greatest life ever, even though some of this shit has kind of brought us down, you know? And it's easy to just scroll around and go, holy shit, this world is fucked up, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a point of view that you can take. Or you can look and find people, because there's a lot of them, and there's a lot of entrepreneurial people that are putting their heart and sweat into these products that are better for you and better for the planet. And like you said, like, don't underestimate our voting power of our dollars. Don't give your dollars to organizations that don't give a shit about you.
Yeah.
Like, they don't care about you. I like, when I meet someone and I instantly connect with them, I care for them. Like, there's a natural thing. If I meet someone that doesn't give a shit about, I ain't doing anything with them. Right. Yeah. So we can take that same thing with the companies that are willing, the company who's willing to give you their IP and go, hey, check this out. We're proud of it. If I was a company, that's the place I'm going. It's what we do with my nut company out of Brazil. Like, we've got the highest rated sustainable score that the third party has ever tested, because we're looking at the environment. We're looking at the safety of the indigenous people. We're looking at the food safety of the people that are getting this wild food. So it's like, that's how we need to look. That's the spirit of not taking a quick turn, just focusing on profit. Like, we need to look at, as soon as we reduce, we create problem. But if we look through the lens of the best of our ability as holism, especially as entrepreneurs, as people wanting to do better in the world, like, let's support those. And I get it. Like, some of the arguments is they're too expensive. And yes, some of them are. But if a bunch of us who can afford it keep pushing it, the Elon Musk model, right? He had to start his business with, like, the high-end car that could accelerate and create cash flow. And then with the cash flow, the prices come down. Also, there's a bunch of great fun DIYs. I think about all this stuff with, you know, the mama bears of the world who have kids. Like, teach them how to make clean laundry detergent or deodorant or shampoo or healthy ways to clean your vegetables. Teach the kids, make it a learning moment. And now all of a sudden they know. So now you've just informed them without needing to preach to them, going, hey, we're making this because, you know, the other things are just like chemicals and it actually hurts you. You can't study as much. Your attention is not, you're not yourself. And they're like, oh, wow, I don't want that. Let's make this, mom. You know, so we have to, like, get back into that kind of idea. And the ones that we can't afford, we just put a thumb, you know, a holding place. And when we can, we transition. We do the best we can. That's what life is. We do the best we can with what, like you said in the beginning, you're all hearing some of this stuff for the first time. And it's like, shit. But at the time, you're doing the best you can.
Yeah, exactly.
So just go, cool. Forgive yourself for not knowing, because you didn't know. Who cares? Now you know. Now what are you going to do about it?
Exactly. And then that's where it becomes empowering, because then you realize that you do have a choice. And there are other options. And like you said, you can do DIY. You can teach your children how to do this kind of stuff. And thankfully, we do live in a time that more and more companies are creating better, more accessible, more affordable products. I've been seeing more and more of them pop up. I mean, when I first got into this like 10 years ago, there was not a lot of options. But now there's a ton of companies creating cleaner laundry detergents and cleaning products and face washes, you know, body care. Like, there are definitely options now. I mean, you can even find stuff at Target. I do videos all the time on my Instagram saying, hey, this is a clean, sustainable beauty line and everything's no more than like $20, you know? So it's definitely becoming more accessible. And I just find all of this so empowering. And I hope that people listening are like, okay, feeling good. I'm feeling empowered. I feel like there's things we can do. We have choices, because we do.
What was your, just out of curiosity, I'd love to know, what was your kind of starting moment when you were like, I gotta, this is crazy?
Yeah, I think, you know, it all happened for me kind of at once. I started getting really, really into health and nutrition. My mom, a lot of it came from my mom, to be honest. So my mom lived in Boulder for a long time in that community, you know, during the 70s and the 80s. And they were really on it, you know, very early. And she was really on the food. She was making everything from scratch. I mean, she still does now, but like as a kid, like was making like bread from scratch and pasta from scratch and just cooking every meal. And she was also really on like the products and stuff. She never really wanted me to be on a lot of prescription drugs. She was very careful about all that, careful about the products that she used on me. And I, as a child growing up, I didn't really fully understand it. It obviously stuck with me, you know, as an adult. But you know, growing up, I was kind of like, oh, this is weird. Like we're shopping at the weird, like natural food stores. Like, what is this? You know, and all my friends are going to get like McDonald's for dinner. And then I went to college. So I got exposed to it from a very young age and it really made an impact on me. But I wasn't aware of the impact until I moved out of the house. And then I started seeing the effects of all the horrible food that I was eating. And just, I got it backwards where like I felt so good. And then I started being exposed to all the stuff when I went to college and living on my own. And I was like, oh, this is like, I feel terrible. And so I started reading books about nutrition and health, and it all, like I said, it all kind of just came together when I started realizing how important it was, not only of the things that I was putting in my body, but what I was putting on my body is when I started to really understand this. I think I first was looking at a deodorant and realizing that there was a connection with like breast cancer and aluminum and all of that. And I just kind of went down a deep dive. And then it's one of those things, like once you learn one thing and you peel back one layer, you're just like, oh, wow, this is like a blooming onion. I'm just like, you know, rolling back all the layers. And that's really how I got into it.
Yeah, that's cool. And that's exactly it too, because you realize across all of these systems or across all of these different areas, from your house, what's in your house, to the clothes you're wearing, to your personal care, to the food industry, you're like, they're all using this weird sort of playbook that there's less and less and less accountability and failing safety standards. It's an onion. And I even very, very difficult to conclude this book because it's so big. Right. It was naively going, I know about a bunch of this stuff. Let's write a book. And you're like, once you kind of really commit and even pull layers that I didn't even know, I'm like going, oh my God, if I get into this, this is a whole book. So I have to kind of like button the chapters because it's so intense. Like telecommunication companies, the history of fluoride. And it's like going,
oh, wow, yeah.
Oh my God. This stuff is not only fascinating, it's like, because I read it and I read the studies and it's like going off in my head like a movie. And I'm just going, oh, but I can't, but I have to like pause it. So my book took a lot longer because I was having to amass a huge amount of information to then go, okay, I have to conclude it to like this.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
I'm really excited for people to read it. And I also in this discovery for myself, like I said, I first got into food. I realized that, you know, similar to what you were saying, is that all these companies are using a similar playbook, if you will. And we saw this happen with big tobacco. I mean, we literally have seen copy and paste step by step what happened. And all, I mean, that isn't an isolated incident. And this is what I think people really need to understand, is that this is happening literally right now with the chemical industry, with the food industry, with the pharmaceutical industry. It's happening across the board. And the more people that are aware of this, the more people start pushing back, and we realize, first of all, we need to make peace with it, that it's happening, and then be like, no more. We're not going to take this shit anymore. You know, like, stop doing this to us, because it is happening on a large scale.
Exactly. And I couldn't help but to come to that same conclusion, right? Especially the thing that was the most alarming, which we don't have time to get into all of it, but the telecommunications companies. The electrification of our world has some deep, dark secrets. And That to me was like, when you're seeing non-ionizing radiation, which is the radiation that we're using every day, all day, right? So our laptops or cell phone, when you're seeing it cause similar things to the chemicals that we were just talking about, endocrine disruption, lowering testosterone, we're talking proximity and usage of time. So let's be clear. It's not physically ripping your DNA apart like ionizing radiation, like but over time, it's causing epidemiological change. They're studying that more and more. When I was reading what was going on in the telecommunication world, I was like, oh my God, they're just doing exactly what big tobacco did. And the alarming nature for 25 years has been, they've known that the electromagnetic fields, even putting in, you know, electricity, they know that this stuff is connected to leukemia. Then you start flipping on Wi-Fis and all of this stuff and 5G, the telecommunication, that is a crazy story. It is an unbelievable story of what they know, what they suppress, what they don't, plausible deniabilities. Because the EPA, it actually fell on the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, who did a lot of the studies pre-1994, and they found a bunch of problems. And then overnight, all of that shifted to the safety standards for the FCC, and now they have standards that are 20 years old. So you're like going, huh? Like, our advanced tech is moving. We're putting cell phones up to our head, and your safety standards are 20 years old? What are you talking about? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's frightening, too, when you think about how fast it's all happening. You know, there's a new iPhone out every year, and all this technology is running at such a rapid pace, and what, we can't even do any studies on it in the last 20 years?
Yeah, there's studies, but they're just
But they don't want to. They're suppressing them.
Yeah, you have to dig them up, and there's great books, The Invisible Rainbow, if you want a rabbit hole of the history of electrification, jump into that. It will blow your mind. It should be a movie that you don't want to watch, but really need to watch. So, you know, the thing that, just to button that conclusion, shut off your Wi-Fi routers at night so you can sleep. Your body's electric. Mm-hmm. That's how they diagnose you. You know, you put your heart and everything else. That's EKGs and everything else. So your body's electric, and you're getting hit with electric fields that have frequencies and electromagnetic fields. Keep that cell phone off of your head. Plug back in.
Wired headphones.
Wear headphones that are plugged
wired,
in.
Yeah.
Wired headphones. And so things like that, common sense. All of this stuff really does come back to common sense, similar to your mom and like, hey, she's like, hey, best quality is I just make it myself, right?
Yeah.
Best source is you just going, just don't assume that everything you can buy is all that great for you. Yeah. Do some work, you know?
What do you think about, do you know about the Soma Vedic? Do you know about these things, the crystal? Do you think those work? Do they help?
I haven't seen direct studies on them. I have dove into many. There's a German company. I've started to have a lot of back and forth. They've done up to 25 studies called WaveGuard. Mm. And so the idea with Soma Vedic and WaveGuard, again, I don't have real data to say that it's the same thing, but I understand what they're trying to do. So basically I know that WaveGuard is proving it in the studies that they have done, but the idea is that we're being hit. The satellites now are blasting us with 5G, and they're putting more and more up. We didn't get the chance to vote on that, right? So they're just doing all this, they're smartifying everything. So we are getting hit with electrical pollution, more and more and more of it. So what do we do? Go live in the woods? Well, soon the woods won't even be safe because it would be coming from our ionosphere. So these devices are essentially creating a field effect. So we naturally, as electrical beings, we create a toroidal field, right? Mm-hmm. And so these devices are kind of going back to nature. And so how can we create a toroidal field that depolarizes polarizing radiation, non-ionizing? So polarizing radiation is essentially everything we created. So think of it like this. It gets very complex, but I'll keep it simple. The sun is non-polarizing. If you hang out long enough, it will burn you. But if you if you polarize the sun, that would take like a magnifying glass and condense it into a laser, and it will burn, you know, start a fire that way. That's essentially our electronics are polarizing. They're directed energy fields that are going to your phone and going to you and all of this stuff. Oh, that wow. Polarizing energy is intense for our bodies, causes a stress. Free radical species affects our immune system. Electrosensitive people, about 17% of this country people are electrosensitive. WHO is trying to put that as a condition. So most people don't even recognize that they're being affected in this way. So these devices essentially are creating this field. So then the polarized radiation is coming into contact with that field. The idea is it non-polarizes the polarizing radiation. So some of the studies that WaveGuard did was they showed in the field effect of the cell phone or the Wi-Fi or the 5G that in a control where there was no electromagnetic field, they did a tissue study where the tissue was cut and on a cellular level, it healed, right? In normal conditions. That was the control. And then they had the skin cut and affected trying to heal in an electromagnetic field, and it was having a very hard time healing itself on a cellular level. Then with the WaveGuard, in this instance, the non-polarizing field, it didn't go 100% like it wasn't effective, but went up to about 75% effective. So it cut down the polarizing radiation by 75%. So you know, signals still worked and everything, but it didn't affect your body as much. And they're continuing to advance into more and more products that are there. So I have a travel unit that I take with on planes, and
that's fascinating.
So it is a wild world that I don't know about you, but I can't shoot down these satellites. I wish I could. I would give it a shot, literally and figuratively. But since that is, we have to use nature to help protect us from the stupid decisions that we're making. Because again, like I still have a cell phone. I still use these things, but you have to use them with sense. So keep them on speaker phones, plug back in, and you know, keep them off when they're on your body, these kind of things. But anyway, yeah, EMFs is all a whole nother.
Yeah, I might have to have you come back on to talk about those. Well, this has been such an amazing conversation. I'm so grateful to have had you on to talk about this. This is incredibly important information, and I mean, life-saving for people. So I'm so grateful that you wrote this book and that you're making people aware. Before we go, I just want to ask you one question that I ask all my guests, and this is a personal one. And I'm very curious to know what your answer is. What are your own health non-negotiables? These are things that you prioritize either daily or weekly to really take care of your health, non-negotiables.
Oh my God, I have a list, right? All my water is RO filtered, and I build it back up again with electrolytes and spin it and vortex it and everything else. My morning meditation, my morning journaling, my superfoods du jour, my adaptogens, and always touching nature every day. So that's the broad stroke, but that without a doubt, and whole food eating. There's just no way I'm living without doing those things.
Yeah. Great. Well, we're very aligned in those as well. Well, please tell everyone where they can find Fatal Conveniences. Is it out yet or is it coming out soon?
Well, depending on when you launch this, it will be May 16th, so next week when awesome. We're recording this. So, you can get everywhere where you buy books or go to darrenoline.com. And I've got Fatal Conveniences, got all the links there. And so you can find me.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Really loved this conversation.
Oh, it's best. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Real Foodology Podcast. If you liked the episode, please leave a review in your podcast app to let me know. This is a Resonant Media production produced by Drake Peterson and edited by Mike Fry. The theme song is called Heaven by the amazing singer Georgie. Georgie is spelled with a J. For more amazing podcasts produced by my team, go to resonantmediagroup.com. I love you guys so much. See you next week. The content of this show is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not a substitute for individual medical and mental health advice and doesn't constitute a provider-patient relationship. I am a nutritionist, but I am not your nutritionist. As always, talk to your doctor or your health team first.
Looking to build a more robust foundation in your health and well-being? From the producer of the Real Foodology podcast comes one of the most popular alternative health shows on Apple Podcasts, The Dr. Tina Show. Dr. Tina Moore is a naturopathic physician and chiropractor, traditionally and alternatively trained in science and medicine. The show features exclusive interviews with experts such as Sean Stevenson, Mike Mutzel, Mark Groves, and even solo episodes covering metabolic health, pharmaceuticals, chronic diseases, long hauler syndrome, and pain management. Dr. Tina delivers the information in a no-nonsense, real-world style, and she has the science to back it up. The Dr. Tina Show is edgy, entertaining, and informative. Every episode will leave you with a new pearl of health wisdom to expand your knowledge base. When you're empowered, you can do better for yourself, your family, and your community. Resilience is the name of the game, and Dr. Tina is here to guide you on your way. Listen to The Dr. Tina Show today on your favorite podcast app. New episodes every Wednesday. Produced by Drake Peterson and Resonant Media.